When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're not picking him in your wild card then?
Oh, jeez.
No, I am because...
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
My name is James.
You said, oh, there's no point talking about your wild card because I haven't hit the activated the button. See the laptop? Control C, Control V, copy, paste.
What might
tell everybody your wild card and I'll tell you mine.
No, I'll do it near the end. And yeah. You ain't going to be able to copy and paste.
Because I ain't got the money.
Because you ain't got the money.
Probably not, but we'll figure that out now. I'm not necessarily a wild card. Let's talk about FPL. Second half of game week 34. Obviously, the six other fixtures that we've had in the week. You and I were both on free hit. This is where I'm at. So, Wednesday, seeing Mateta score two, clean sheet for Crystal Palace. Newcastle let me down. I kind of switched my focus because I got inside the top 2K in Sky now. So I'm like, let's figure that out. I haven't even logged in back to FPL to see what my free hit score was because I don't even want to know. Like I saw some guys like Dave Simple goal and that 186 points and dumb shit like that. We've got Ben White and Captain Mateta. I just don't even want to know, James. I don't even want to know.
Do you want me to tell you for you?
No. You do your team, and while you do, I'm going to log into the website.
Maybe, Nico, while I talk, you could just zoom in onto his face and see the depression.
It's definitely not 100 points, right?
It's bad, mate.
Yeah. I don't know what my red arrow is either. Let's have a look. 75 points. That's a red arrow of fucking 200 and 1,000 places.
Yikes.
But let's just see. PB. Points benched.
Oh,
36.
I thought you was going to say personal best.
Well, points benched, 36. Well, 18 on Pickford, 9 on Brereton Diaz, 7 on Muniz and 2 on Kilman. So my bench got half my main team.
Well, I can beat you on that, sir. I got 48 on mine.
Nice.
And that's nowhere near the biggest I've seen. I've seen a bench this week that's over 70.
Wow.
On like a free hit.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they've had like White, Phil Foden last night, someone else, Pickford and someone else. Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't regret. Obviously, you regret when you don't score the points that you want to score and everyone else has popped off. But I don't regret thinking that Crystal Palace are shit. They've just gone and won 7-2 over two games. But if I look back at it, I didn't expect West Ham to be as bad as they were. And nor did we expect Newcastle to get rolled over 2-0. I mean, we talk Sky. I bought three of them. You bought two of them on Wednesday night. Isak and Shearer.
I primarily bought them to play Sheffield United tomorrow.
And Gordon. But you're thinking they've got to do something, especially Isak. I really did feel was going to do something because he's just been playing so well. Like his form has been great, not just the output. And it flopped, unfortunately. The captaincy on Saka over Salah has worked out, but madness, right? And Bruno Fernandes outscoring both of them with a single game week fixture is mental. So ended up being, it is what it is, 75 points. I don't think it was crazy to think Crystal Palace could have got done over, but they've obviously come out really well. And with teams like that, the talisman of the talisman, and they do hoover up the majority of the points, and that's what's happened.
So on our differential show last Friday on Patreon, cut into the intro. I said, don't be surprised if the average this week is about 70.
Yep.
It was for you.
Why for me?
Well, because everyone else got a lot more, didn't they? On free hit. Don't get me many free hits. I got less than that, unfortunately.
No. So why was the average 70 for me then? It wasn't. The average is lower.
The average is way higher on free hit. It was about 112.
Yeah.
Which beat mine, by the way.
Yeah. 112 is huge. Like, there will not have been a game week like it for on free hit ever.
Guess what no one's doing this week? Oh, double game weeks were overrated. No one's having that this week, are they?
No.
If you went any Palace anyway. You basically
they were
miss.
The big differentiator, right? Because the majority of us did have three Arsenal and three Liverpool. And I bet if you look at which three Arsenal, which three Liverpool, over the course of most teams, it will average out. People might have captain Salah over Saka and lost out there, or they'll have one of Odegaard or White, but then you don't have a Gabriel Saliba did all right. No one from Liverpool did any bits. So I don't think the differential was within Liverpool and Arsenal.
Well, you can't say no elsewhere. One, right? Jota and Trent owners would have done well, right?
Yeah, very few, though, in that bracket. It basically, go Palace or don't, and be bold enough to captain Palace, and don't.
Yeah, the huge success stories this week are those who end up captaining Mateta. Yeah. 29 points.
Yeah, huge.
And I've seen one or two Ben White captaincies knocking about as well for another absolutely monster return. I finished on 111, which I don't want to be ungrateful about it. If you'd have offered me that at the start of the week, I probably would have been pretty happy with that, considering what I just said about I actually didn't think it would be that great.
And you captain Salah, so I mean that's...
So captain foul amongst
you could
that.
Almost captain anyone else. And
but
better
here's
off.
The irony, 111 points, the 11 is from the free Liverpool. You couldn't make that up.
Tell me something, is that a red arrow?
No, green, okay. green.
Just check.
Green. I was up to, so I went from like 230 to 150. Foden's return last night knocked me back to 179.
Wow.
Okay, so there's obviously loads would have carried through with Phil Foden. So 111 for me, 11 from the free Liverpool of Van Dijk, Luis Diaz and Mohamed Salah captain. From the Arsenal guys, 41, Gabriel, Odegaard, Saka. From the free Crystal Palace, I have to count this, Suj, 50. From Munoz, Eze, Mateta.
Incredible.
A 9 for me from my two Bournemouth, Dominic Solanke and Neto, who was left out of the Bournemouth team. Kind of kicking myself because Neil Grover spoke to us weeks ago. He said this is a possibility at some point. And even when I saw it didn't come as like a stunning surprise. Those on the bench, my treble Everton defence of Pickford, Tarkowski and Mikalenko. And even the attacking player on the bench I had was Antoine Semenyo, outscored Dominic Solanke with his 10 points. So, look, I'm content with it. It's obviously a nice green. It just looked like it was going to be a lot better than how it's ended up at the end. And I'm aware that there's loads of teams who haven't even free-hitted this week will have outscored me, who carried through like the right Palace. If they invested in... I mean, if you just captained Mateta, you've got more than half my score.
Yeah.
So that's definitely possible. There are some unbelievable scores out there this week. Congratulations. And for those who've been hit hard because they weren't on free hit.
Or did a shit free hit.
It's the way it goes. Or did a shit free hit. That's the way it goes, unfortunately.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, just carry on and go to the next one, isn't it?
It's not like I'm not going to not free hit, not play my wild card and bin my team.
Well,
and
I don't know, Suj, the fact that it's sort of nearly just a timestamp is because we're ahead a lot of today's team news. It's about 10 a.m. You know, sort of 25 hours from deadline, you might not press the button. I mean, you've done stranger things.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll see. I've seen people saying, like, how can they get their team deleted so that then they get refunds in cash leagues and stuff like that? Listen, FPL will kick you out anyway, fam. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Like, what's going to happen? Nothing. Like, I've had worse ranks than before.
This is an example where having the chips at the end can obviously help you catch up. major ground. I mean, you've got three hit teams out there in sort of the 160 to 180 range this week who would have gone in versus a mini league rival and perhaps be 70, 80 behind and have possibly made up the ground in 1 week. It's incredible.
So we started the pod in 17, 18.
I'm old, Suj, but I'm not that old.
Just checking, 2017, 2018.
Oh, right. Thanks for the 20.
And my ranks since we started the pod. So prior to the pod, I was always outside the top 2 million, but then I gave up playing by December, January because I had no reason to. 274K, 720 in 18, 19. That wasn't a good season. Then 130, 500, 113, 123. So three finishes there in the top 150K, considering how bad I manage. I didn't realize my ranks were actually that all right. I thought they were worse. I'm 1.3 million this year. It's like hideous.
You got a target from here? I suppose it's to finish. Six numbers, right?
You know, when
just
you
to finish.
When you start the London Marathon, which was what the weekend before. I've run three or four marathons in my life. What are you aiming for a time? And you think, when you start training for the marathon, you're like, I'm going to aim for a four-hour marathon. I want to get a four-hour marathon. When you get to like 2 weeks before, it's like, just fucking get round and give me a medal at the end of it, please. So, And then, like, there's many managers that have both a better rank history than mine and a worse rank right now, like, in terms of the season's been pretty brutal for a lot of people. I didn't realise my historic was all right. Like, wow.
I mean, look, there's a lot of people listening now or watching that would be like, nah, shit.
What?
I'm just telling you. Them ranks.
Oh, you ain't got a top 10K finish or whatever.
You got the wrong show, kids, if you're that worried about it.
Yeah. It's a funny one. I don't know.
Can I tell you one thing from the marathon I saw last week going around on socials? I saw this guy who stopped 26 times. He stopped every mile and someone had a glass of wine for him. That kind of like describes your FPL season as well. I'm just a large glass of wine on every game week, mate.
Nah. Why would he do that? It's a madness.
Well, he wanted some booze on a Sunday morning.
Why not?
Each to their own,
why
right?
Why not? All right, cool. Look, so we move on. You're on wildcard. We'll talk about wildcard at the end, shall we?
Yeah, because I think I'll explain the decision process.
Is anybody
of
who's
what
not
I've
on wildcard will probably want to switch off.
No, not really, because I think...
Trust me,
there'll be people who haven't free-hitted this week who are already working in that direction and will already have like your... Haaland, Foden, Son, and a few other players. Arsenal players are going to be difficult to ditch, right? Carrying through, I'm going to carry that. Carrying Liverpool players. So there'll be plenty of not on wild card now. Still finish this season well, no doubt.
Cool. All right. Well, let's start with the Gooners because I know how much joy it brings you to talk about them doing well. 5-0, smashed Chelsea. If I wasn't wildcarding this week, James, because I've already got, I already had two Chelsea, two Spurs. So in terms of a double game week, I've got four already. I could use a transfer to get to five and then wildcard next week. So wildcarding this week for a lot of people is about getting Chelsea and Spurs assets. Who are my two Chelsea, James?
Gusto and Palmer.
Who didn't turn up on Tuesday, did they? So do I have... two Chelsea assets even for this double game week. Does it even matter?
We spoke about high benches. I saw a bench boost knocking about on -1 this week.
Oof.
It had Haaland, Palmer, Areola and Doughty. Doughty got -1, the rest got 9.
Ouch. Strange bench boost, but you know, if you've got the chip and you think you're
bloody hell, Haaland and Palmer, two of the best players you can have in the game.
Yeah, but not on doubles. And Palmer at Chelsea, Arsenal.
I get that.
And but the doubts on Haaland were already there because
there'll be people who've bench boosted this week with similar and have just got Foden and have got away with it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In any case,
Arsenal cooking on gas.
The only reason I sat through this, all of it, is because I was recording yesterday's Clash of Correspondence with Gary and Ricky to preview Chelsea and Tottenham's double on the fixture next week. They got absolutely annihilated. In that first 20 minutes of the second half, Arsenal were on a different level. And I said to you, I think on the Sky Pod on Wednesday, Martin Odegaard was ridiculous. Near enough the best individual performance I've seen from a player this season, any game. It was a joke. Unplayable. If he plays that well in any game left, Arsenal win automatically just off of that.
Wow.
He was incredible. I said to you as well, Ali McCoy summed it up when he said, even if Ben White gets that tricky, I ain't changing my man of match.
Yeah.
It's clear as day. He said after an hour, he said, I know man of matches. He was breathtaking, Martin Odegaard. And I don't think he'll be the worst differential to have for the rest of the season. He's obviously returned a good total here in this week with a 20-pointer. Kai Havertz made up for the weekend blank with a couple of goals, took them really well. Chelsea refused to acknowledge his name, which just brings further attention to themselves. They were very, very good, Arsenal. They look, you'd have to put your hands up and say they look like title winners. Anyone who watched that game Tuesday night, I mean, I feel a bit better about it having watched City last night, but they were exceptional, Arsenal. Mm. In that mood, you ain't stopping them, particularly at the Emirates as well.
Yep.
They were just way, way too good. I think from the fantasy perspective on Arsenal now, I'm seeing a growing trend, possibly off the back of back-to-back clean sheets, so there's a recency to it, but also, as said on Monday, you know, six consecutive away clean sheets as well, where a lot of people are just fighting for these shit defenders on wildcard this week, looking to bench boost 37, coming to what I believe is the right conclusion and going, carry some Arsenal.
Yep.
Just carry some Arsenal. The strongest defensive team by an absolute distance. It will come as no shock if they keep a clean sheet on Sunday. No shock if they keep a clean sheet at Manchester United in game week 37. And you almost expect it in the two home games. That said, this has been going on for a long time now, that there has been an upturn of more clean sheets generally in away games than home games. They seem to have daft odd moments where they win games 3-1, 4-1 at home.
Yeah, that's City were doing that all the history of City.
City have always done it. But yeah, I really think those on wildcard now, even if you're bench boosting 37, I said it Monday, just get an Arsenal defensive guy. For the offensive guys, for those...
7 goals, Saka 1 assist.
We've been here loads of times. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago.
Sheffield United, what did they score that day? Was it 5 or 4?
We discussed it. They had the 5-0 at home to Sheffield United, and he only got assist. And loads of people captained him earlier in the season, the home game, not the away game. Crystal Palace at home in January, loads of people captain him, 5-0, nothing. Another 5-0 at home here, just an assist. And actually, he never looked like he was going to get more. It was all through sort of Havertz and Odegaard. Trossard obviously scored really early on. Saka, I feel, is quite an easy one to cut for those on wildcard this week.
I had a cheeky look at Arsenal midfielder points, because I do remember even at the start of the season, him and Martinelli, Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli were similar prices, give or take. And it was which one? And I was thinking, by this point, has Odegaard's consistency of just chipping away and ticking along got him anywhere close to Saka? It's really not.
No, Saka's had an outstanding season.
He's at 202 points. Odegaard is way down at 168. Even Havertz, who's really started picking it up, is at 150 points. Martinelli can discount now because he's had so many injury problems. And he's been outscored now by Trossard, actually, in FPL, which is mad. So despite Odegaard's consistency, Saka's still head and shoulders from a points point of view ahead of him. So when you say you can cut him, do you feel like you can cut Saka?
You know the risk when you sell a player like that, as people are going to do with, say, Mo this week,
I mean, there's
as well,
a handful
right?
of players that have topped 200 points already this
but
season.
But I think for me now, if I was wildcarding, if I had the room, and I absolutely don't, to go an Arsenal offensive player, or if I want to come back for one next week, which maybe feels a bit more likely, I think I'd go Havertz.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put my hands up and say, I got it wrong on him, actually, because I didn't think he'd start at Wolves. So he started all them games now, Villa, Munich, Wolves, Chelsea, started the lot. Sometimes it as a 9, sometimes as an 8. That, though, he's getting into more advanced positions, right? Even if he's playing as the 8, he becomes a little bit like a late box crasher, if you will. Yep. I think Havertz would be the one that you'd want for this run-in. He's the most likely, if you will, to kind of like put a hat-trick on the board, I think. So he's, Havertz would be the one for me.
I think he's scored as many league goals now for Arsenal as Richarlison has for Spurs.
I really thought you were going to say as he scored for Chelsea.
No, probably more than he has scored for Chelsea. I remember asking you if at the end of the season, will Havertz scored more goals for Arsenal than Richarlison for Spurs?
Well,
he's been with you a season
Havertz
more.
Must have more. He's surely scored more league goals than Richarlison this season.
Not
surely.
This season, in their whole career.
Well, Richarlison only got one last year, Suj.
Yeah, so he's been with you a little bit longer. But Havertz, clearly, he's doing all right.
Can't fit him in. I wouldn't have a problem of if people want to fit him in, particularly maybe if you're going for a front three and and you haven't got the bench boost left. This is what I kept looking at. So just like, where can I differentiate where I could say, right, well, I'll bench this offensive guy in 35 and 37. The problem is, as I'll cover later on, there are six midfielders that I desperately want this week. And Kai Havertz isn't one of them. Yeah. So there's no way for me to fit him in, unfortunately. On Chelsea, Palmer's fine, we think. There's lots of speculation that he trained yesterday. So I still absolutely think, in spite of the performance from Chelsea, and they did all right for a good 15, 20-minute spell in the first half, actually. Palmer captaincy this week, for me, is unquestionable. But
unquestionable meaning don't do it.
What do you mean?
You said Palmer captaincy this week is unquestionable.
Yeah,
meaning don't do it.
No, unquestionable as in there's no one else to consider.
Oh, okay, fine. Definitely do it.
Yeah, not a doubt in my mind. Even if he's still got the yellow flag tonight, it's still Palmer. I said on COTC, even if I thought he'd be back for Tottenham, I'd possibly still captain him. So Palmer would be my captain, that's a certainty. Mal Augusto was the defensive one many of us wanted, right? There's the spectre of Reece James looming and this flakiness where he kept coming off early. Now there's an injury. We don't have confirmation yet. And the one good news is Chelsea are normally really honest, right? They put up there, this is who's unavailable, yada, 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 on their website. But there was a guy at the training ground yesterday who said Gusto had said to him, I'm hoping to be back for the West Ham game, which is game week 36. So if you're wildcarding now, you're like, oh, shit. I think for those who are looking to bench boost in 37, I'd strongly consider still going with him, if that information is correct. And just not having a Chelsea defensive player this week. Do you think Chelsea keep a clean sheet this week?
No.
And I think he's the best one.
No chance. They've just conceded 5 away at Villa Park, and then you attack a lot. So no.
So
nor do I think you will either. So
No.
Agreed.
We'll get to my team at the end. So I'm probably cutting Gusto. The one I'm looking to go with is Mark Cucurella.
Yeah.
Purely for me as well, I'm more interested in this week for the Chelsea player than actually 37 because my bench boost is gone.
Yeah.
Cucurella will obviously have the threat of Ben Chilwell, who's injured at the moment. So I feel like Cucurella's safe for this week. Yeah. And Levi Colwell, we think's not quite ready, could obviously play left back. So I wouldn't say Cucurella's safe for 37. The problem is when you look at that centre-back, Jesus, you just want to kill yourself.
I wouldn't go near it.
Wouldn't bother. I think the one, if you were desperate for it, would maybe be Chalobah. Noni Madueke is an interesting one if people want to punt it. Because I think as well with the other issues they have, i.e. Enzo Fernandez, has obviously got a groin, he's having a groin op that's going to rule him out for the rest of the season. Conor Gallagher will likely play a deeper position. So you probably will get Madueke's minutes, I think, certainly at least across this week. I think it'll probably be pretty safe.
Okay.
So I don't mind that as a differential punt. I won't be going for him because I will be going for Nicholas Jackson, who, Serge, should have been sent off, really. Never mind, should have got the 10th yellow. Should have been sent off. I saw a few people saying, I think it was Baker from Above Average tweeted, all of us wildcarding were just hoping he'd get booked so we didn't pick him.
Yeah.
I can't avoid that, for me personally. You're going to.
Yeah, it's, I can't it's bring
Darwin
myself to do
Nunes
it.
All over again.
I can't bring myself to do it.
Reality is simple as this for me. The centre forward against Tottenham next Thursday will get chances. I can't guarantee if he'll score or not, but he will get chances.
That's true.
And so that's enough for me.
Let's talk about Wolves, nil, Bournemouth 1. A decent away win for Bournemouth. I mean, Wolves still a little bit bare bones. But look, Aitnori started, Sarabia started, Hwang up top, and Cunha got some minutes too. So not as bad as disaster, get the 16-year-old kids out, but they lost.
Yeah, with a dodgy disallowed goal, it should be said. Although also, I know Bournemouth are appealing Milos Kerkez's red card, and there's every chance that will get overturned. I think it's just a clear as day yellow card for me. I don't think it's a red card. The ones who went on Wolves this week who have got returns, well, you haven't, have you? There's nothing.
No,
they haven't scored, have they? So there's nothing. And particular moment of silence for those who went Matthias Cunha, who came off the bench and got booked in the second games that actually returned a zero-pointer, unfortunately. Ouch. Wolves have a good fixture this week, right? It's Luton Town at home. So those who have Onate Nori or even Cunha, Sarabia carrying it through are probably going to want to play it this week and then look to maybe move it on. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. I wouldn't be surprised if Luton got something there tomorrow. It's just the importance of the game. Wolves' season's finished, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it'd certainly be no interest in investing in them new. I don't think there'd be any interest in investing in Bournemouth new either. But again, decent fixture this week at home to Brighton. I mean, if you're a Dominic Solanke owner, do you think of going to Jackson? You'd certainly consider going to Isak, wouldn't you? But would you go to Jackson if you had like Solanke?
No, I'd go to Isak. I wouldn't go to Jackson. I'd keep Solanke.
Yeah, it's good.
He didn't return in this game, but he did in the previous. Still on pens.
I'm playing that the Brighton same we saw. Yeah, there'll be chances.
Yeah, 100%. So,
no, Solanke, would be a decent hold this week.
You were talking about him being a Sky option for Sunday as a potential captaincy and looking at how my team's going to end up. I think I may captain Solanke in that game. You're right. So, I'd rather keep Solanke.
For Neto owners, don't know. Don't know if this is just a one-off or not. Neil Grover told us on Clash of Correspondents going into game week 28 that he thought he was all right for that week, but he had been concerned previously. They'd kept a clean sheet at Burnley the weekend before and he played all right. And that for that moment there, eased Neil's concerns, but he said that he thought at some stage this would happen. If you've got him and you haven't got a replacement keeper, you are automatically looking at Petrovic or Vicario right now, aren't you? It's a reality.
Yeah, Vicario, I think, over Petrovic.
Well, it depends what you've got from the others, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm also hoping, if Porro's out potentially, then it makes it easier to go Vicario. I don't want any of your other defenders.
I looked a lot at Petrovic and Vicario. I think with Petrovic, you'd be happy to, despite Chelsea's defensive woes, you'd be happy to play him every game. The double, West Ham at home, the double, Bournemouth at home. Mm-hmm. He's fine. It's just Will Sanchez eat his minutes somewhere. Vicario, you're happy to play him in three of the four, but he's very safe.
Yep.
So are you happy to look at Vicario away to Liverpool next week? Probably not. But Vicario is the safer to go to there. Kirkir's owners have an anxious wait. I think there's every chance he'll get that red card overturned, actually. And for those who went there on free hit, you had some wild swings of emotion this week, right? So, obviously, the assist at Villa. Did he assist a goal in this one as well?
Kirkir's?
Yeah.
No.
No. But no. He looked like he was going to be on... Obviously,
no, it was Unai.
Correct.
Unal.
He looked like he was going to be on for a clean sheet again. Yeah. So you were looking at a good probable haul. And then obviously he's got the red card. Actually, you're unlucky because I said I don't think it's a red card. But Wolves fans will be going, what about me? Because the goal disallowed, I mean, just I think 9 times out of 10 that incident gets missed. Cunha does swipe his arm back twice. And that's where he picks up the booking on the disallowed goal. But I also don't think they deemed it that the Bournemouth player would have been able to get to the ball and stop the cross. I don't think he would have. And those who had Huang, that's his header, would have hit the net as well. So, I mean, Wolves players have turned out to be just a massive flop on this free hit. You went Sarabia, didn't you?
Sarabia. Didn't play in the first, started and came off after whatever, 65 minutes.
Would you consider keeping him because of the fixture this week?
No. I mean, he's a free hit player, so it was a one-week punt. I wouldn't consider it at all.
There'll be a few carrying through, though, and I think... Like, without a wild card, you're not going to bin that this week for Luton at home.
No.
And you should be all right to expect the minutes. It's worth saying Cunha probably comes back in. You've got Cunha, Huang, Sarabia as a front three. It does look very different. Ait Nori played wing back. Under that circumstance, he'll play wing back again, but not a terrible one for this week. And if people just want a defensive cover just for this week, then that's perfectly reasonable, of course.
Your Crystal Palace players, any thought of keeping any of them on your wild card despite them delivering you 50 points in a week? 2-0, home win against Newcastle. Done well. Mateta's on a roll. They're doing all right.
No.
Any thought even for if, any that people...
Even if I had an injury today for one of the front guys I want and they were definitively ruled out, I'd just end up benching Mateta this week anyway. So... Right. I don't really know what good that is. What I would say is, for those who've carried it through, you definitely don't need to rush to bin it off. But if you take people who got Eze, just automatically, they're going to look, can I get up to Sun this week? Because a lot of people would have gone Sun to Eze with the intention to go back. Those people probably will. And it might be a temptation for those who've got Eze to look at going to, say, Brennan Johnson or Noni Madueke, as I've said. A couple of different options there as well. They're not terrible ones to keep. I actually think they'll win at Fulham tomorrow. And I think even they might even keep another clean sheet. I wouldn't be surprised. So I think they're fine if you're carrying through this week. But for me on wildcard,
nah.
The fixtures aren't good enough, Suj, for me to hold any of that where I could go. And we've spoken about them playing Manchester United in 36. But even still, the guys I'm getting in have largely, bar the Tottenham players, have largely got a good fixture as well. I don't need to go there. So, Newcastle, I'll be getting rid.
Three?
Yeah, definitely.
Isak and Gordon are so easy to recommend that I don't even think they need a lot of discussion. But Isak and Gordon will be in for me. I've already owned Isak for a little while. And then it's the third. Who is the third? Are you thinking Cher?
It will be Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing for me would be I think for you, Dan Burnoff is a nice alternative because you're going to struggle for the money a little bit more.
Yep.
They're both very safe for minutes. Really importantly, Eddie Howe said after the game, he said Tino Livramento was named as a substitute in case he was needed in an emergency. He's still struggling with the ankle injury he picked up against West Ham. So that's a complete avoid. You're not going to go for Emil Kraft. Kieran Trippier, the word again from Howe on Wednesday night was that there was hope that and expectation that he would still play this season. It doesn't sound like he's going to be ready for tomorrow. And I'm sorry, before you get to the double, it's still Sheffield United, bless you, and Burnley first. I don't need to go down that path. When Cher, we know, offers a decent attacking threat. Although I did have a look at his expected goal involvement over the last number of games. He's not great.
No.
But neither is any Newcastle alternative either, right? So if you can afford it, it's the best one. That's the one I'll be going to. I mean, that's just a short... As long as he stays fit, because he has had historical injury problems, but has stayed fit for the majority of the last two seasons, as long as he stays fit, you've got the minutes out of him, and it's not even in question. You get 90, 90, 180, 90. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and no thought around Dubravka for anyone that's looking for a keeper, just in case Pope... pops his head back up.
Well, you've got to ask yourself, how close is it?
Who knows? This is the problem. We don't have enough information.
Well, we don't, but I'm beginning to suspect personally. And again, Eddie Howe said, he said, Trippier, Pope, Almer and Joel Linton, he was hopeful that all four of them were still going to play this season. So if you're relying on it from the bench boost perspective, no. If you're not and you're happy, then consider it. Because I think you definitely get Dubravka, obviously, this Saturday or tomorrow. There shouldn't be any question marks on that. Harvey Barnes is obviously an alternative to Anthony Gordon, but just literally with the fixture right in front of you, I don't know how you avoid that. Gordon's only blanked in one home game all season.
Wow.
He's got the worst team in the league tomorrow. So that's unquestionable for me. Callum Wilson obviously came off the bench. That is going to have a little bit of an impact on Isak. But let's remember, Isak's points this season and goals numbers are based on minutes that are much lower than everybody else's anyway, and he's still up now.
Yeah.
So, again, for me...
Doesn't spook me that at all.
No, unquestionable. And I think as well, with Barnes and Gordon having both played in the wide areas, there's no reason to think that Isak won't continue to play up front. Yeah. I think in circumstances like this, where, to be honest, they got well beaten and not played well, that you can see Isak move wide later in the game or they go to a 4-4-2. It's just in too hot of a streak, Alexander Isak.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a caveat to getting Newcastle assets, and it's this away record that we've spoken about a lot this season. There's only two home games to go. They've got four away. So Sheffield United at home and Brighton at home, and there's four away games. Now, the away games aren't terrible. It's Burnley, it's Manchester United as part of the double. How many games have got left? Newcastle. Five, sorry. Three away games left. They go to Brentford final day. There's a case to say that don't rely on your Newcastle defensive assets, particularly in the away games against even Burnley and Brentford, because they're shocking on the road, mate. They really are. They're under 1 point per game away from home. But those are fixtures where they could fix that. Even if you look at the recent victory against Fulham, should have been behind in the first half. So there's that. They are different teams home and away. But wildcard, and as I said, straight into them at home to the worst team in the league. Yeah, I'm getting the best three. And if I decide to change my mind on it and move that later on, I'll deal with that later on.
Let's talk about Everton 2-0 Liverpool. Bad week for Liverpool. I know they won at the weekend away at Fulham, but if you go from the Atalanta game and then now this, they'll feel really on tilt for the league now, particularly with Arsenal.
Do not be fooled by XG numbers and stuff. Everton thoroughly deserved this.
Yep.
They made the game everything that Liverpool might have feared that they'd make it. And Liverpool fell into the trap, basically, of allowing that to happen. There was a period in the last 10 minutes of the first half where Everton were scraping at the walls to get to half-time. And they were hanging on a little bit in the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half. But once they got the second goal, despite obviously comfortably letting Liverpool have the ball, they were relatively comfortable, bar the one Luis Diaz effort that hit the post. And Liverpool underwhelmed. Basic errors costing them again. They have three opportunities to clear the first goal and don't. And then the concession of the second goal to Calvert-Lewin is disgusting, where Van Dijk gets blocked and no one else wants to go and head the ball. Unfortunately, go and look at Trent on that second goal. He doesn't want it enough. Or he's too frightened. He's too frightened of getting clattered. He does not want to dive in there and get his head in the way of where it's going to hurt, unfortunately. Or he just reacts way too late, but he looks very timid in the moment. So Liverpool are out of the title race, despite what Guardiola and Arteta will tell you. In winning every game left, I'm pretty sure will not be enough for Liverpool from here. They've got the goal difference against Arsenal as well, right? So they need Arsenal to drop points in two of the games, at least. I can't see that.
Agreed.
Because I think Arsenal, for me, win the last three games, no problem. The only question mark is over Sunday. And it's because of this. That's the reminder for Sunday, is what Everton created here, right? That derby feel. Now, Tottenham aren't going to play anything like Everton, in the sense they're not just going to absorb the pressure.
Tottenham not going to make it difficult.
No. Well, we'll make it difficult, but in our way. We'll be defending on the halfway line and stuff.
There's no low block there.
Exactly that. You might get it in the last 5 to 10 minutes if we're holding on to a lead. And we might go for a back five in the last 5, 10 minutes if we're winning.
But we've seen with Ange, you don't do that.
No, but Ange has done that.
Okay.
Ange has done that in a few games. He did it at Manchester United in January. He did it at Everton in February. And actually, we conceded in that period where he did go to a back five right at the end of the game when they were too tired. That said, he's got more offensive changes that he can make now. But I hope it acts as a reminder to Tottenham fans of what can be achieved on Sunday. And Arsenal are a better team than Liverpool. But we've got to make it like that. Now, we don't have a venue to make it like that in terms of how close it is. But it's still relatively close to the pitch. But we've got to make it as hostile as possible. The weather looks like it's going to piss down on Sunday. I'm hoping it does. And you just make it one of them that it feels like a game in winter rather than a game at the end of April, right? I don't really want the sun shining on. I just want all things to make it feel horrible. Ugly and exactly that. Not that I want us to play ugly. I want us to play our way. Liverpool assets for the running. I've seen a few people talking about having Trent for the wild card. You could fit it in. And it's a differential way of looking at things. But I still think with West Ham, Tottenham and Villa as the next three, you're only getting him in for the offensive stuff, aren't you?
Yep.
And Trent's capable, we know that. Mo is always a difficult player to cut, but there's no doubt in my mind to do so, actually. And I haven't got any interest in anything else Liverpool at all. I'm not even sure I'll go back for them on final day. There's a lot of people think, well, I leave myself open for like Salah on final day and stuff. I'd be just as happy to leave myself open to go for like a Havertz on final day or something different. So I think there's every chance I won't own a Liverpool player for the rest of this season. I'm not that bothered about it. Mo's not playing well. It's not at it. Nunez missed the big moment when it came again. I'd be more likely to go Everton players on wildcard surge because of some of the fixtures they've got.
Yep.
I think there's every chance we'll get...
Still playing Luton and Sheffield United.
Well, Luton 36 away, Sheffield United at home 37.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you rather bench boost with in 37? Jared Branthwaite at home to Sheffield United or Trent at Villa?
Jared Branthwaite.
I mean, there's a debate to be had there, but...
A budget-based debate. What is that? About an £8 million player versus...
It's a £4 million difference. What can you do with a £4 million?
At that point, it's a very different conversation. But yeah, Sheffield United... did lose, though, midweek against Manchester United.
I really think, just to say, those on wildcard, in the same way as Arsenal defenders, consider Everton, consider Pickford, Branthwaite, Tarkowski. Mikalenko's obviously on a void as he went off injured at half time. The offensive players, Skip, those who went Dwight McNeil this week, done really well. They're safe now. Genuinely safe. So you're 8 points clear of Luton.
Only Arsenal, City, Liverpool have conceded less goals than Everton.
Yeah.
The top three. And Everton are...
And you've got the worst team at home in 37. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you're looking at Manchester United playing Arsenal and Newcastle or Everton playing Sheffield United, what's the more likely for the clean sheet?
Everton.
Well, it's close.
I'd say Everton.
The answer in terms of a percentage probably is still the Manchester United player. But don't be surprised.
I don't know.
If Everton keep a clean sheet in 37.
Look at their goals conceded. It's low. It's 48 goals all season, James. Whereas Manchester United have conceded 50. So not a lot in it, but they have conceded.
And
more.
Just conceded 2-2. That's Sheffield United.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the caveat is, this is your segue, right? Sheffield United have been scoring goals lately.
Yeah, but James, their goal difference, this is my question for you, is minus 92. 4 games to go.
The goal difference is not minus 92.
Who?
Sheffield United's. It's not minus 92, you nutter.
Oh, sorry. Goals conceded is 92.
And they conceded 92?
92.
Have they really?
So my question is, James, 4 games to go, two goals a game in 4 games to go is 8 more. Do you think they will get to conceded 100 goals?
Oh, my goodness.
Season?
No one's done that in a 38 Premier League season,
really?
Have they?
I was going to ask you that question because I thought you might know.
Swindon Town did it in 93-94, but it was 42 games.
Right.
And they conceded, I think, exactly 100.
Because I remember that when City got to 100 points and scored 100 goals, that was a hell of an achievement, to score 100 goals in the season. There is a risk here for Sheffield United that they get to end the season and have conceded 100 goals.
Let's put it into perspective for you. They're playing Newcastle this weekend. How many did Newcastle get the last time they played them? Right, there's your 100. So what have they got? Newcastle away, Forest at home, Everton away, and Tottenham at home.
Yeah, Tottenham at home is a dangerous one as well last third season, especially if you go for
Tottenham's, it. Tottenham have played away from home the last 3 game week 38s and scored 4, 5, and 4.
Yeah, this is dangerous. They've been bottom of the league since game week 14.
You would have to say that's probably on par to hit 100, I would say, per game.
They've only won 3 games all season. Very difficult season for Sheffield United.
Yeah,
Manchester United ticking along. I still think they're, because you've got a game in hand on them, 7 points behind you, I don't think they're anywhere close to being able to get to 5th, but 6th is kind of getting more and more a lock.
Well, I mean,
for
from our case anyway,
everyone else keeps
shit
in the bed.
From a Tottenham perspective, Newcastle obviously lost, so Newcastle are now, they're still 10 points behind us.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Newcastle can get to 65, we're on 60.
Yeah, you'll do the business to get to that. Burnley and Sheffield
5th and
United.
6th actually will be the same when it's Europa League either way.
Yep.
So even if Manchester United did put a proper run together, do you trust them to? Was you even surprised when you heard Sheffield United were winning Wednesday night? I sat here on Monday and said to you, don't be surprised if Burnley get something on Saturday.
But also, I wasn't surprised that by the end of the game, Manchester United had won it.
True.
So it was a bit of both, I think. They just make their lives difficult for themselves.
I mean, to give you a statistic to actually show you how bad Sheffield United have been this season, they only had 10 shots. Wait, if you're conceding
so many shots this season, it's incredible.
If you're under 25 against Manchester United, you're pretty pissed poor, aren't you?
Manchester United do have a double in game week 37, James.
Yes. So
tell me, Bruno Fernandes in? 157 FPL points this season. You get to 170.
Well, the thing is as well, look at him over the last 6 or 8. It's good. The underlying's good.
18, 15, 9, 8, the blank 2, but then 11, 5, 4. He's chipped away for the last 8, 9 weeks.
He's been good for a while. Yeah. He's carrying them, isn't he? Basically. Others have underwhelmed. He's consistent. I've been critical of him a lot, but he shows up.
Are you talking about from an FPL point of view or just in general?
Just general.
Yeah, I mean, like, Garnacho's been chipping away.
He's a young boy. He's done really well.
Obi Mino's shown a bit more form and he's getting better and stuff. There are other players now that are coming to the fore a little bit. It's not any of the superstars that they've bought. It's not the Antonis of the world or even Casemiro's been out or whatever. It's the others that are carrying the team. And that says a lot, I think, about what direction they need to go in. But yeah, Bruno Fernandes is head and shoulders the best asset there.
He's not a certainty for me, as I'll explain a bit later, but he, he probably will go in, because as I said to you, I just think he's perfect for this. This time of season, you've got an attacking player you can specifically rely on for the minutes as part of double game week. He's talisman. He's on pens. They've got a good fixture this weekend from an offensive perspective, playing Burnley at home. He's almost definitely going to go in. But it might be for me, Suj. The question mark for me as well is, like I keep saying, I'm looking for advantages. For me, I might be benching him in 36 and 38.
Wow.
With what I end up with if I go with him. Probably not 36. 38, I would view him as a make weight to get to back towards a Salah or a sideways to like a Kai Havertz, as I mentioned. Right at the end, they go to Brighton. It's not bad, is it? So for Bruno, it's still a decent fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
Just I could imagine if Manchester United go there and got nothing to play for, and then they've got the cup final the following weekend, Like their heads aren't there, I think. So Bruno is highly likely for me. Hoyland is not a consideration. Garnacho is a great option, and for those who, there'll be loads who've carried through, he's absolutely fine. I think for me, like I'm going like Palmer, Gordon, like I don't need to go there from a financial reason. He might be another one for you that you'd look at and go, right, I'll go Garnacho over Fernandez, and I would get that. And I think that's fine, it's reasonable. And minutes wise, you should be all right. Rashford obviously missed the game, so you weren't going to pick Rashford over Fernandes anyway. I think Fernandes will get a lot of attention this week. I think nearly everybody at Wildcards probably will end up going with him. Defensively, I think I'm going to go Onana. For me, that's primarily as well because I like the Onana-Raya rotation.
Right.
I can afford it, so I can go Onana at home to Burnley, Raya at home to Bournemouth, Onana in the double, Raya at home to Everton. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah. It's too expensive, but at this stage, if you can afford something, the value is almost irrelevant. You either get it or you don't.
Yep.
I think there are two defensive players that can be considered. Maguire's returned a goal and assist there, and he is cheap. So he does fall into the line that will appeal, I think. Maybe for the bench boosters. Yep. 4.2, like, is that reasonable? I mean, particularly at that value, yes.
And he's going to play. They've got so many injuries.
But I do have a nagging feeling that Diogo Dalot is due something as well. That's about £1 million more. I'm not going to go to United defence. So the only reason I think what would change it for me where I end up going Dalot or Maguire is if Porro's ruled out today. Because then I'll look at, all right, I want to go Vicario in goal. And then it changes the situation. Yeah. And then I go, right, I'm going Maguire or Dalot. So there's five there, I think, a consideration. Hoyland maybe for a sixth. And I know he scored in this one, but as discussed on Monday, he's just not really having the chances. And I think this week, like, would I pick him over Jackson with a double? Nah. You could, of course, I mean, what would change it as well is if we got news today, Haaland's out for a few weeks, then if you want to go Jackson, Hoyland, Isak, like I get that. That would enable people as well to find it easier to keep, say, Mo Salah, if that's what people want to do. But as I said weeks ago, the money isn't a huge problem on this as long as you take Salah out. Sheffield United, there's obviously no interest, but those who did have Ben Brereton Diaz were rewarded. Oliver McBurnie missed out with a hamstring problem, so he's probably unavailable this week as well. You're obviously not looking defensively.
Of course not. Brighton 0, Man City 4. Brighton, almost now people talking about targeting because of how many chances and stuff they've given up. We've just got like Phil Foden, that's his seventh double-digit return of the season in 31 starts now. I thought 30 starts, I think. So one in four games almost. Man's clocking a double-digit return. There's a couple of nines this season as well. Two of those double-digit returns are 20-pointers as well. Like, so when he's going big, he is going big.
And so when he's got a double game week, do you want to be without him?
No chance.
So I'd come
but
to...
But the thing is, you know, like, I look at it. When I'm looking at his points, he scored 16. The last game he played, he scored 20, which was Aston Villa. In between that, Man City beat Crystal Palace 4-2 and they beat Luton 5-1. And he wasn't even on the pitch for those two games where they've scored 9 goals in those two games. You're telling me he wouldn't have returned in those two games? Of course he would. Ridiculous returns. You're not picking him in your wild card then?
Oh, jeez. No, I am, because I should.
Fear.
No, I mean, listen, it's not like you watch him last night and think, oh, he's shit. Like, you don't, do you?
And the league is not won.
Well, there's that. What it is, so I said there's six midfielders I really want, right? You probably guess who they are by now. So there's Fernandes, there's Gordon, there's Palmer, there's Foden, and there's Son, and there's Johnson.
If it's Johnson, you can always get Johnson this week and move it to Foden if you want to.
Yeah. But then that's inevitably what I'm doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So am I that confident in Johnson to just do that? Oh, and what, Foden's got Nottingham Forest this weekend, like it's the worst fixture. Or,
yeah, and like they will feel the goal difference between them and Arsenal is only six.
City won't catch that. Like, I think the goal difference is irrelevant.
It's not, but it's not like 15 where you know it's definitely not catchable. If Arsenal lose to you and City win by
City are a point behind, right? So the only way the goal difference matters is if City draw a game, and it's not even that, is it? Because they've got a game in hand. So the only way it matters, the goal difference...
City would be two ahead if they win their game in hand.
Is if City draw a game.
Yeah. And Arsenal win.
So for example, if Arsenal win on Sunday and City draw, and then City won their game in hand, they're level, right?
Yep.
You've got to think, you put an extra goal on that already for Arsenal. Because if City draw a game and Arsenal won, that's at least one more.
Seven. Yep.
So it's at least seven.
Over effective. Three games.
I mean, could City win like 5-0 in a row? Do you think Arsenal ain't going to clock up some goals against...
No, they are. But I feel like psychologically, 6 or 7 is something you can go for, whereas double digits, you'd be like, let's not even worry about goal difference right now.
I think that's big enough, it's not a thing.
Forest away, look, City's goals scored in the last games. We just said 4 here, 5 against Luton, 4 against Palace. They're racking them up, mate.
I'm going to say what I said on Monday. I think Villa. I said Brighton might be City's toughest game left. I'm going to change it. It's Sunday. It's Forest. I actually think City might drop points on Sunday. It's just the circumstance of Forest fighting for their lives and stuff, mate.
Yeah.
They're going to feel so wronged after Wham last week. The atmosphere is going to be high. City have got to kill that atmosphere. But I don't think you'll kill that energy while the game's still level, or even if it's only one goal in it. City went there last year and should have won comfortably and ended up conceding a late goal and drawing.
Was early in the season, though, wasn't it?
What, last season?
Yeah.
No, I think it was the last game City didn't win before they won the title.
Okay.
It was in like February or March.
Oh, okay, fine.
Haaland missed a couple of big chances that day. To go back to Foden, though, it's like inevitably, if I don't go him now, I'm going to want to buy him. One of the things I said earlier in the week was, I like the idea of keeping the third City spot open because I could maybe make a choice between Foden or De Bruyne. But my choice is going to be Foden anyway. I know De Bruyne's got a brilliant headed goal last night. It would be Foden.
Of course. The values are irrelevant. If they were the same price, you'd probably possibly still pick Foden.
And with that in mind, I think, how would I work De Bruyne in? Would I be taking Son out with his double in 37 or Fernandes with his double out in 37? No.
KDB's expensive.
And with that in mind, I might as well go to the defensive one as well. Considering, and we have seen this before with City, a concentration moment happens at the end and you do get a few clean sheets in a row. I still wouldn't go Edison. I'm not having it. At the moment, I'm going to go Josko Vardiol.
Okay, not Kyle Walker.
I think Kyle Walker is the safest.
Yeah.
I think he'll get a lot of attention after last night as well. 2 assists. First time he's ever done that in a Premier League game. However, I think you need to take some key notes from that game last night, that playing Brighton is unlike playing any other team. And Brighton went man-to-man all over the pitch. City didn't play with wingers. They basically played a Christmas tree formation, basically a 4-3-2-1, allowed Foden and De Bruyne to both play as 10s, and Bernardo Silva tucked in from the right to go and join in with Rodri and Kovacic. City don't normally play like that. They probably won't play like that again this season. And a lot of City's outs was getting the fullbacks high because Brighton players go and follow all over the pitch. Remember when I said to you when Brighton played us, Van Heek was like following Son or Richarlison, whoever it was, like to like all the way with the centre backs and stuff. And Van Hek did that on a few times with like De Bruyne last night. So then you've got like Dunk isolated and like, oh my God, shit. Then right, boom, runners from deep. Well, who's going to do it from deep? Is it going to be Bernardo Silva or Kovacic or Rodri? No. Who's got the pace? Kyle Walker.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Walker.
Width, yeah, sure.
Boom, over the top. The fourth goal is a perfect example of that. And Kyle Walker played more like the Kyle Walker we saw at Tottenham several years ago. We just played as an auxiliary offensive right back. Don't be surprised if you don't get that again this season. Let's not say Kyle Walker can't return, but because listen, Kyle Walker can give Kevin De Bruyne the ball from 40 yards out and he just smashes it top bins or whatever. So Walker's a fine, is a reasonable pick, and I would say that he's the safest. I would be surprised if Kyle Walker didn't start all of City's remaining games. Vardiol is the one that interests me more because I think there's a ceiling possibility, and City are more likely to move back to a structure where at times we get Vardiol was almost like the left winger in possession. And he's a threat from set plays as well. So Vardiol is the more interesting one. It's a little bit cheaper. I think Ruben Diaz, despite not playing last night, is, I don't want to say safe, but will play the majority as well. What you got to think with City, and this is easier for me than it is for others because they don't have the bench boost. If, let's say, Arsenal slip up and City don't between now and 37, City obviously could put themselves in a position where the last two games, which includes the second part of the double, might not matter. And then with the FA Cup final afterwards, you know that you could get some rotation at that point, even for a Walker or whatever. So there's little point in sitting here now and being definitive about, he'll definitely play twice in the double. Well, because if City have got the title won by then, which I don't think
even
will happen.
Even if they don't have the title won by then, you couldn't say that he'll definitely end up.
No,
because it's
you
City,
couldn't anyway.
You can never,
but
you can never
I
do
think
that with City.
With them being out the Champions League and the type of games they have left, I think it's reasonable to think that Haaland wants fit, Foden, De Bruyne, Cole Walker do play the games that's left, I think, whilst it matters.
Yep.
And so I think a lot will end up going Walker, Foden and Haaland. My intention is still to go with him at the moment, Haaland. I'm actually busting him on the bench this week. So I don't even need it this week. Okay. So rather than fighting to bring him back for Wolves at home next week, if he's back, I'm quite happy if he's unavailable this week. The only thing that's going to change that for me is if there's a, well, we're not sure, it might be a few weeks, etc. My intention is to leave it. Also, even if he's not back for Wolves, I still don't really need him. I spoke about, you know, maybe even benching the likes of Bruno Fernandes at Palace. And if I'm only going to one Tottenham attacking, am I bothered about playing Son at Liverpool? Nope. But if Haaland's back, that's what I'll probably be doing, is benching Son at Liverpool. So it's not like a disaster, right?
No.
So I'd rather have it in place because I don't necessarily particularly need it otherwise. So Haaland's going to come in with me subject to the news. I'm an idiot if I don't go Foden, I think.
I agree with you.
And I think Vardiol is going to come with as well. For Brighton, that last night will spook people. I think Van Hek offers a money option for people for the double. But playing Solanke, Watkins, then Isak, that's the next three games. Then Cole Palmer in the second part of the double. And then Bruno Fernandes. You're not expecting anything.
You can live without.
Van Hek is probably pretty safe. Sam Murray said on Tuesday, COTC, he thought that was comfortably worth the saving versus Lewis Dunk, who's super reliable. Dunk is obviously a bigger set-piece threat. If you are massively worried about having the minutes in the double, consider one of these guys rather than which Chelsea player at the moment. Consider that. I can't see me going for an offensive one. I think João Pedro will offer a solution if a forward player gets injured prior to 37. But how do I pick him over the others at the moment? If I picked him this week, he's getting benched and I'm leaving 8-9 million in the bank. I wouldn't start him against Villa next week. It's no reason to go there for me.
Cool.
So they're going to get overlooked, unfortunately, and are out of form massively. De Zerbi's idea of having 12 days to prepare for Manchester City was to pick his kind of fantasy idea of we are going to try and beat you man for man. And unfortunately, when you play an opponent like that, once they manipulate you, you're dead.
Yeah, agreed. Cool. Well, look, looking at the questions that we've had on the internet, James, guess what? It's all about
the
wild card. No, it's not even that. Well, but we will when you reveal your wild card.
We should talk Tottenham.
Yes, because there are some questions around Tottenham, like if Porro's out, who's the next best guaranteed defender, and
Vicario.
So I would agree with that.
One of the regular questions is, who do I think will play left back? Because obviously Udogie's out for the season. Unless Porro is ruled out, my strong advice would be avoid Davis and Royal, because I'm not sure. There's two ways of looking at this. One is the fear that I've said, you know what, if you look at our next three league games, we're playing against, in that area of the pitch, Saka, Palmer, or Madueke. He's probably more likely Madueke now, but still a really direct runner. So Salah, Saka, Madueke, and Salah, with also Palmer drifting that side. I would rather have Emerson Royal defend that, would be my opinion as a fan. Ange don't think like that. Ange thinks about, what can we do to hurt? And one brilliant facet to Ben Davis' play is his distribution is good. His distribution is better than Ben Davis in terms of, give him time, can he punch a pass into midfield? Yes. And that's why I think Ben Davis will probably get favouritism. Because I'm trying to think, well, what will Ange do? But I'm not certain of that, yep, because of the opponents as well. So I think they're in a void. If Porro is obviously ruled out for a while, then they'll both play. But unless Porro is ruled out for the season, Porro is coming back in for one of them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it could be that Davis plays against Saka, gets annihilated, and Ange goes, yeah, I should probably play Royal against Madueke. That's also possible. So I think they're a void. If you want Van de Ven or Romero, I suggest probably re-examining what you want to do with your life.
Okay.
Seriously, for me, that's like buying McBurnie at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you in your answer in that. Who's the second best? Vicario. Just go Vicario. Because there's questions like around, would you rather Edison and Spurs defender, or Vicario and Kyle Walker? That's not even a question in my mind. It's obviously, I'd rather have Vicario and Kyle Walker.
I think I'd rather have Harry Maguire. But no, I'm being serious, because Maguire against, say, Burnley tomorrow, and actually Palace haven't been the best historically at defending set plays. Henderson's not exactly dominant, is he? Like, Maguire.
Yeah.
Maguire's more likely to score from a set piece than either of these two. Oh, I want the minutes. Yeah, well, with Romero and Van de Ven, you'll get the minutes. I don't think you're going to get a lot else with it. Could one of them knock in a goal? Of course. They'll get two or three a season. That's what happens. You could be lucky enough that it happens in a double. Don't bother.
It's funny how a lot of the questions that we've had in around wildcard are people stressing around defence. Because the attack is easy, right? It's literally, what defenders do I go for? Who's the best defence?
Also, further forward.
Take a deep breath.
On Tottenham players. Everyone's going to go for Son. I want to go Johnson over him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to.
Because no chance of Richarlison either.
I'll tell you the other problem I've got is I'm going to leave 0.1 in the bank, and I've got value in the likes of Son or Foden. So not only if I go Johnson, I can't go back.
Yeah.
I can't go back. Well, I can. I can just make it and go burn instead of share and make the sacrifice. I don't really want to do that sort of thing. I think the front three on Sunday will be right to left, Johnson, Son, Werner. I think it'll be the same as what it's been, with obviously Madison behind that. Madison for me is an avoid. Underlying data is bad. I can see with my eyes he's not playing well. Son, despite frustrations, you absolutely unquestionably know what the capability of him is if he gets chances and isn't left with the indecision of, should I pass, should I shoot? If it's straightforward for him, shoot for goal, mate, he'll probably score. That's why you don't want to miss out on him. Brennan Johnson is, in my opinion, an absolutely brilliant punt. Brilliant. I'm going to not go there, Serge, and I'm gutted about it. I think I'm going to go him in Sky just to like sort my problem out.
Do you care more about your rank than you do about having fun? Have some fun.
It's not, I mean, for me as well, I looked at one setup last night that had Vicario and Porro because I'm probably only going with Son. And then I thought about having double Tottenham defensive playing Arsenal.
Yeah.
And how I don't need that in my life, thank you. I really, really don't. Richarlison, unfortunately, I think he could start. I would like him to start if he can manage it, by the way. I think that would be better for us. But we don't know where we're at in terms of what he can manage and what he can't. I don't think you can go there. And what I concluded, Suj, was rather than having the, oh, I want to come back for City, the third City player, it might be more about come back for the third Tottenham. That will sound silly with the double now, but what keeps bothering me is actually it's Tottenham's double in 37 and Sheffield United in 38 is what I want Tottenham for more rather than this. So I'm even happy to come back for Johnson, or if Maddison finds his form, or if Richarlison gets in the team up front. That's the conclusion, basically, I've come to.
Understood. So your wild card,
but the team news could change everything. So, I mean, I've kind of been through it, but this is 0.1 in the bank. So what I'm going to go with at the moment, subject to team news, I probably won't change my mind on this otherwise, is going to be Onana and Raya in goal. Obviously, again, I don't have the bench boost. So, again, Onana, Raya, Onana, Raya. That's the pattern that I'm particularly looking at. Defensively, Porro, Cher, Cucurella, Vardiol and Gabriel. So my intention is to have double Arsenal defence in 36 and 38.
Porro,
Cher, Cucurella. I think Cucurella's one for me that I'm comfortable in this week and I'm not so bothered about 37.
Yep.
Vardiol and Gabriel. Midfield, Palmer, Foden, Fernandes, Gordon, Son. Up front, Jackson, Isak, Haaland. And that's with, I mean, this week, my bench is Raya, Haaland, Vardiol, Gabriel, the two teams going for the title. I would have, with that, the only single game week player, despite me not bench boosting, outfield, that I'll have for 37 is Vardiol. But I can see me, if I'm really happy, I mean, it's conceivable, if I didn't have any injuries or anything, landed with 37, it's conceivable I could land there and go, I like this, I'm happy with that. And even make an enabling change for a single game weeker to move money to take a different punt in 38 or something. So I've been saying for weeks for the chip talk bits I do for our patrons that I didn't want to get into this period and plan transfers. In 36, I'm doing this. In 37, I'm doing that. Injuries, form, and status. And what I mean by status is the title still up for grabs? Is top four still up for grabs? These kind of things could have a bearing as well in terms of a number of these teams might have nothing to play for by the time it lands. So that's also the killer for me. He's knowing, oh, Johnson and Son at Liverpool next week. Is that terrible? No. But I definitely want Foden at home to Wolves. So that's the clincher. It's not this week. It's next week in 37. And reluctantly, Brennan Johnson's the one. I hope it haunts me. I hope he goes off massive, mate.
Yeah, my problem is obviously money. I can afford Onana and Vicario as my two keepers. Gabriel, Cher, Gusto, Walker, Porro, Fernandes, Foden, Palmer, Son, Gordon, Hoyland, Jackson, Isak. It's all right. Covers me off the bench boost pretty well as well because they're all doubles.
You've still got it, right?
Yeah. It gives me $4.5 million in the bank. That's not enough to ever get back to Erling Haaland or Salah. Maybe Salah from Son. That's it. Doesn't let me get back to either.
So what would be the front three?
Hoyland, Jackson, Isak for now.
Yeah.
$4.5 million to fix problems. But it doesn't get me back to a premium. But Salah I'm less worried about, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go without Salah. Do I really need to go back for Haaland? I mean, with my rank, just go against.
I mean, it's not like...
Maybe they'll just try and keep him fresh for next season now. I don't know.
Palmer, Son, Isak could all be really captainable in 37. I think in terms of 36 itself, I think Haaland is probably the best captaincy at home to Wolves if he's fit. But Arsenal at home to Bournemouth, Palmer at home to West Ham. If you did keep Salah at home to Tottenham, there's alternatives. It's not like there's nothing there. Mateta against Manchester United. What are you laughing for? I don't think you should laugh about that.
It's PTSD. It's a PTSD laugh. Mateta, you bastard guy. So, I mean, it's not going to be difficult to wildcard. I have to make a sacrifice of one premium. It'll have to be.
I don't hate it. The priority for me, I feel like here, is to get the attacking players right rather than stress about the defensive ones. And I recommend that as well for anyone who's looking to get towards the bench boost. Like, don't make the concession in midfield or up front. Get the guys you want there. And if it means you have to go burn rather than share and stuff like that, do that. Do that rather than make the concession in the forward areas.
Yep.
I think what I've got there is going to be pretty template and a bit shit. But it should really be greens from here, especially when I'm not going to lose out to the Arsenal defensive guys in 36, 38. I did consider, and I would maybe again, if I had an injury today to that expected team, going treble Arsenal defence.
Do it.
Well,
have a bit of fun.
There's not a need to.
How would you come off them?
I thought he was going to say, how would you enjoy watching the games? I would still celebrate when Dominic Solanke puts Bournemouth 1-0 up next week.
Yeah. You don't have to worry
about
37.
I don't have to.
So, yeah.
The problem with that is, if I went, say, White and Gabriel and Raya as an example, I've got way more, I think, psychologically need for my three defensive guys in 37. But again, as said, if I had to play an Arsenal guy at Manchester United in 37, it's fine.
Well, you get transfers between now and 37, James. So, you know, we can fix things.
Yeah, I mean,
now and then.
My intention wouldn't be to use anything next week unless I had an injury. And then, as I said, if I landed right, I mean, if you said, right, that's your team for 37. I mean, who do I even bench from the attacking eight? Who would I even bench in 37 as it looks? It'd probably be Jackson through sheer frustration, I imagine.
Probably. Yeah.
That's it.
Cool.
Any questions more?
Not that we kind of haven't sort of covered off. I mean, there are some broader questions, James, that we can cover off. Like, for example, do you think City are better at the moment without Haaland?
Oh, we've been here so many times, haven't we? Stylistically, yes, but you can't replace that goal scoring.
No.
Let's say it like that.
But he hasn't been goal scoring in the same way recently.
I mean, how many has he still got all comps this year? 30 or so? Like, and he's obviously had injury issues this year. What's he got, like 80 goals in 2 seasons? What a shit player. Mm. I think, as Johnny said on COTC on Tuesday, like, for the first time, he looks like he's struggling for form a little bit. But even still, don't want to go without him here. I'm putting him in thinking, yeah, cool, don't be available this weekend. I'd probably still bench him this weekend, by the way, rather than, say, Foden. Even if Pep said, yeah, he's fit to play Sunday, I think I'd still bench him.
Okay.
It's just an away game. And he'll get that kind of aggressiveness against him, I think. And Forrest will be quite deep.
And the other question that we haven't covered off from Leo is, why do you think we don't have that many managerial sackings this season than compared to past seasons?
Because the quality of the managers throughout the league is largely extremely good. I said this on, I think, our Q&A earlier this week, that I think 75% of the managers in the Premier League are very good. I think it also doesn't always solve the solution or the problem. Like, would Burnley have been better off if they sacked Vincent Kompany? Have Forrest been better off from sacking Cooper? And I think, to be honest, there's a lot of speculation. It was stuff behind the scenes that probably meant that had to happen as much as the on-field stuff. But I heard Mark Subban saying on Black Box they won't keep Nuno next year. They'll go for someone else.
Wow.
But you look...
He was literally to the end of the season.
You look at some of them who struggled this year. You think of Thomas Frank at Brentford. Glasner coming in at Palace. Andoni Iraola's impact at Bournemouth. Marcus Silva at Fulham. Gary O'Neill's first season at Wolves. Any of these bad managers?
No. They've all done really well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Rob Edwards, even though Luton obviously have struggled near the bottom, we expect they've done better than
Rob
we thought
Edwards
they would.
Rob Edwards has been great. I mean, I think he's the biggest reason why Luton have got a chance.
Exactly that. Yep.
So you've even got two teams that are probably going to go down. You go, yep, good managers. Mm. So that's why.
Yeah, and if you start creeping further up the table, obviously Poch has had a tough season at Chelsea, but...
Also, yeah, for those at the top, Brighton obviously never going to change De Zerbi at this stage. It's more about someone taking him after the season they had last year. Moyes is out of contract at West Ham.
Moyes and Howe, Howe getting Newcastle Champions League last year and Moyes winning a trophy meant they had so much credit in the bank this year.
Yeah, Newcastle also had mitigating with the injuries, Ange's first season, Pochettino's first season, Ten Hag even, bit of credit in the bank for the League Cup victory and finishing fourth last season or third, wherever they finished last year. I mean, Pep, Arteta and Klopp speaks for itself. Mm. That's why, because the quality of the managers is so good and that might become more of a trend.
Yeah.
If you think you've got a good one, why? I mean, let's just say Burnley sacked Kompany. Right, Kompany would have been in the running for any other job that come up instantly. Mm-hmm. It was clubs like ours were getting linked with him last year. So I think Burnley, like, okay, we've got a good one here. It's not worked. They bought too many young players this year. They'll come back up next year, Burnley.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of good managers that are available right now as well, as we've seen, because we know that Liverpool are definitely getting a new manager next season.
It looks like it's going to be Arne Slot.
Yeah, West Ham probably getting a new manager this season. And then when you start looking down the list of managers that could become available, there's quite a lot of really good managers in Europe that will be available and or affordably will want to come to the Premier League. So I think I can only see it getting more that way in the coming couple of years as well. With like, I didn't know that much about Glasner before he came to Palace, but he's clearly going to have a decent impact there and work his way up. The risk is that these managers like Glasner or De Zerbi or whatever have a good season and then get poached to go to a bigger club. But yeah, there you go.
I mean, if you're a Palace or a Brighton fan, other than hating each other, you will accept that. Sam said that on COTC. It's like, you know, if a Bayern or a Liverpool come for De Zerbi, what do I expect him not to go? No, he's going to go, isn't he?
Of course he is. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's the football food chain.
It is. Good, good. Cool. Listeners, hope you enjoyed this second half of the double game week wrap-up. I didn't, but, you know, it is what it is.
Sorry, my company's been so shit, mate.
The show was great. FPL, whatever. There was a question, which I didn't ask, where someone was saying, does a game week like this show that we take FPL too seriously sometimes when we go so quickly from is disaster to is great? The answer is yes.
Look at
my smiling face. Don't take it too seriously here.
The only thing that's... What's on my mind?
North London derby.
Mate...
North London derby. I'm looking forward to like having our game as the first kickoff of the weekend tomorrow. Get it out of the way, basically, and get on with the rest of my weekend. I'm going to enjoy lunch while I watch the game, have a beer, and then get on with the rest of my day. But, yeah.
I'll throw you a prediction that if Arsenal don't win on Sunday, neither will City.
Ooh, interesting. I could see that happening. We'll come back on Monday and see if that came true. Listeners, thank you so much for your support. You know where to support the show, patreon.com/planetFPL. Other than that, though, stay safe, look after yourselves. Good luck on Wildcard. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Importantly, be nice to each other and play it your way. Cue music, please. Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.